You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. I'm Father Brian Gross, your host for this morning. It's been a great show so far. We have our last 30-minute segment here with Father John Floater, who is the Director of Human Formation and the Propedeutic Year at St. Paul Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, on St. Thomas University campus. It's a mouthful. Father John, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Great to be with you.
So, the church, as we know, has been for hundreds of years forming men to be priests. And in the Council of Trent in the 16th century, she kind of formalizes this, like, hey, this is what it's going to look like to form a man, ultimately to be a priest. And, you know, over the centuries, right, we've refined that and we've tweaked it and we've hopefully gotten better and better and better at it. And so especially in the last few years of the church is always taking a look at how is it that we better form men to be priests? How is it that we can form men who are coming out of, you know, a particular culture? How can we propel them forward so that they can be the priests that people deserve, certainly that people want? And so a big part of that, right, is your work there in the seminary. And so you're in charge of essentially two things, right, the human formation for the seminary and the propedeutic year. And so, Father John, if you could kind of explain to us a little bit about what are those two areas that you are responsible for, what do those mean, and what do you do in those?
Absolutely. So as Director of Human Formation, I'm in charge of the priestly accompaniment of all the men in the seminary. That means I oversee all the other priests who work with the men. Every seminarian gets a formation advisor or formator. And so that's a priest who walks with them over his time in seminary and helps foster the growth that the man needs, and then also is an advocate for the church. So if the man needs more time, he's the one who helps the seminarian ask for that. And so I oversee that process, and of course, an extensive just time of growth for the men, and ultimately it involves a review process so that we can make a report to the man's diocese and the man's bishop along the way. So I oversee that overall process, as well as have some staff under me. So we make use of modern psychology today. So we have a number of counselors on staff who work with the men for growth counseling. And so I oversee all of that. My other big job is with the propedeutic stage. So this is a new stage mandated by the church back in 2016, but finally kind of started here in the United States this year, last August, on the Feast of St. John Vianney. And this is meant to be a preparatory stage before the man starts all the academic work and extensive pastoral work and all the things that go into seminary formation. This is meant to be a time of kind of laying foundations for the man as he's going to be entering seminary.
So you mentioned in your discussion around human formation something that maybe people would be surprised by, maybe not, but you said you're an advocate for the church. Sometimes we can kind of have I think maybe it's an American sort of a sense of things, or a Western modern idea that, like, you know, I want this thing, I've discerned that I should do this thing, and so therefore I will go and do this thing, you know, whether it's getting an engineering degree or becoming a nurse or something like this. But you said advocate for the church, right? So a man makes his own personal discernment, right? Then that man comes to the vocation director or the bishop of a diocese, or maybe he comes to a religious order, and he says, hey, I think I'm supposed to be a priest, or I think I'm supposed to join your order, right? And then the abbot or the bishop or the vocation director says, okay, yeah, we will welcome you in. Like, let's begin this process, of forming you to be a priest. But then you said this advocate for the church. So what does this mean? What does this look like in regards to, say, a man's freedom? The church is also free, right, to choose as well. So does this make sense? Like, what does that look like, that relationship between absolutely. The man's thought and the church's thought?
Yeah, you got it. So you're exactly right. So too often people treat priestly formation and preparation to be a priest as a professional training, like you would going to medical school or law school. And because all priests have that undergraduate degree, and then they have to get basically a master's degree on top of that. And so it's not just acquiring a set of knowledge or a set of skills to be a priest. It really the goal is configuration and taking on the very person of Jesus Christ. And so the church demands, and the people of God as part of the church need, not just priests who know stuff, not just priests who can do the, celebrate the sacraments the way that sacraments are meant to be celebrated, but he needs to be a living icon of Christ to others. And so an advocate for the church is saying, hey, I'm walking with this man, I know this man, and I am seeing in him that process of growth and configuration to the person of Jesus. So, but as you say too, just because a man wants to be a priest, and even he's smart enough to do all the school and can learn how to do all those things, he himself may not be ready, whether it be a lack of freedom in certain parts of his life and parts of his heart, or just an inability to step in and be that pastoral presence of Christ in need. So, for example, if I wouldn't trust him to anoint my mom in the hospital,
right,
I shouldn't recommend him to go out and serve in parishes. And yeah. So that's what it is to be an advocate for the church. And the beautiful thing, though, is most men, it's not that they're incapable, but just for all of the guys, some just may take more time than others, not through their own fault, but just what their needs are. And so what we want to do, what we say in our seminar, at least, is how what's best for the church is always what's best for the man. And so if a guy needs more time, it's going to be best for him, and it's going to be best for the church. But in those rare circumstances where a guy gets through the process of being admitted, and we see later that he's not suitable for priesthood, it's really, you know, advocating for the church. And of course, a man who's not ready to be a priest and free to be a priest, it's not going to be best for him just to move him along either.
Mm-hmm. So Father John, you've been involved in priestly formation for how long, for how many years?
I'm just finishing up year 12.
12 years, okay. So you have a unique perspective, right? How is it that in regards to this, what's best for the church is what's best for the man. The reality of so many guys coming right out of the world, right? We might discern. I know I'm thinking of myself even personally when I entered the seminary. You know, and I went very quickly from a man of the world into, like, I think I'm called to be a priest. I'm supposed to go to the seminary. You know, it happened like 18 months. You know, and so there's a lot of the world that the Lord needed to heal me of and purify me of. And so, it would seem to me in just your 12 years of experience, like that's even accelerated more. Like the world tries Absolutely. To get even more of a grasp on us. And so guys coming into the seminary, there's going to be a lot of, healing that is necessary, maybe sins that need to be overcome. And could you maybe just talk about your own experience of, like, how has that changed, or maybe for good, for, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm still a young fella. I'm 42. And mm-hmm. So in my lifetime, I've seen massive change. So I was kind of the end of Generation X. So I didn't have the internet till I got to college. I didn't have a cell phone until I got ordained a priest in 2007. Whereas most of these men coming in today have had smartphones in their pockets from a very, very early age. And I think that has a massive impact on them. You add in things like a global pandemic and all the things that have happened then in recent years. And what I find in general is guys, I think, in their own life feel more and more isolated. They have had fewer and fewer real positive, supportive relationships. And by that, I mean, like, deep friendships. Friendship is not merely having a bro who you hang out with and do fun stuff with, right? A real friendship is people who have shared the same values as you, track in the same direction, and you challenge each other to be better. Most guys have not had that in their lives. Mm-hmm. Add into that all the things like the massive rise of anxiety, depression, and then too, we're seeing more and more, and I think this is exacerbated by technology, ADD-type tendencies, right? Mm. So attention deficit and being able to focus and all that. And ultimately what it comes down to is the Monsignor Jim Shea gave a beautiful presentation talk at SEEK 24, so the Focus National Focus Conference, entitled The Weight of Our Brokenness. And I highly recommend to all the listeners to go check that out. It's on YouTube now. Monsignor Jim Shea, he basically said, look, this is how our young people are today. And maybe they're not crazy. They're actually responding to the reality of the way our world is. So it's not that they're broken, it's that our world is broken. And so that's what we're dealing with when we're accepting men into the seminary. It's just men who have grappled and wrestled with this brokenness of our world. Now, what's beautiful is I think we are in a place, though, to be able to help them. And, of course, the only answer in all of this is the person of Jesus Christ, as he invites us to the Father and the life of the Holy Spirit. That's the only solution to all of this, or the ultimate solution to all of this. But ultimately, we want to help accompany these men. And so that's what we're trying to do, and that's what the propedeutic stage is meant to address, is to do this preparatory work of all those things that the men are bringing in already, even though they're very fine men and actually and have met the Lord deeply and are desiring to serve the Lord deeply.
Yeah, I would echo your statement or your encouragement for people to listen to Monsignor Shea's talk at Focus. It really is quite extraordinary. So again, as you mentioned, just go to YouTube and you can seek that out on the Focus channel. Easy enough to find, I'm sure. But yeah, Father John, you made a nice transition there from kind of the reality of like what are guys dealing with coming into seminary. And how the church really in really a beautiful way has responded with a propedeutic year, right? Like the propedeutic year in a sense is the Holy Spirit's response to guys for the need of a guy to kind of go through this period of really fasting, allowing himself to be, to kind of, you know, be purified of some of that, those tendencies to immediately dive into technology and that sort of a thing. So, I'm thinking too, about Monsignor Shea. I just remember, I'll never forget. So he's a priest, you know, of my diocese of Bismarck here, president of the University of Mary, and I'll never forget. He talked about being at the North American College, and while he was at the North American College, the 4 years he was there, one of the years they got internet, right? So they didn't have internet at the North American College, and then they did, and he talked about how eerie it was, how they, all of a sudden, when they got internet, like all of a sudden, all of the common spaces emptied, and guys were in their rooms right on the internet. You know, and how quickly that can happen for us, where we don't even realize how much we are tied to our stuff, and we're not engaging in human relationships. So, Father John, we're going to go to a break. Everyone, we're going to a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the propedeutic here. It's a new thing. Maybe you've never heard of it. And how is it that the church is asking us to form priests? And so please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Father John Floater, Director of Human Formation and the Propedeutic here at St. Paul Seminary in St. Paul.
Live, engaging, and local, this is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
As you think about your future, there is one more thing you can do. Write or update your will and estate plan. If you pass away without a plan, all you have worked for in life, both financially and emotionally, will be decided and divided by someone you may have never met before. We have some tools to help you in your planning. For more information, please visit our plan giving website at rprlegacy.org or call Mike at 701-290-4503. Let's get started.
This is Jake Werner, the State Deputy of the North Dakota Knights of Columbus. I was asked to explain if someone were to come to me and ask why should they become a Knight of Columbus. I can answer from my own experience, and that would be becoming a Knight of Columbus has made me a better Catholic. It's made me a better husband. It's made me a better father. It's made me a better man. There are so many things about the Knights of Columbus that young men are really looking for, and they don't understand it's just as close as their local church. Becoming a part of the Knights of Columbus local council opens up so many doors for you. In a society where people are known to be loners and going their own way and trying to figure out what's going on around them, the Knights of Columbus provides you a family, people that you can go to, resources that you can reach out to, ask questions of, get encouragement from, not only spiritual encouragement, but all kinds of things.
Did you know you can listen to Real Presence Live anytime on any podcast platform? Just search for Real Presence Radio on platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and on the Real Presence Radio website. Then subscribe so you don't miss any future shows. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating so other people can find us as well. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.
Thank you.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining for our final segment here. Continuing our conversation with Father John Floater, who is the director of the propedeutic year and the director of human formation at St. Paul Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, on the campus of St. Thomas University. So, Father John, before the break, we were speaking about your responsibility as the director of human formation and how the church has also very much, in a sense, you know, she looks at the man and she asks that question. Is this man formed? Is this man ready to be a priest? And so there's a whole long process that the church goes through in forming a guy to be a priest, to be ready to be that representative in persona Christi. And a big part of that is this new, what we're calling propedeutic year, right? And so in preparation for a man to enter into the final years of his formation, the man has to go through a propedeutic year. If you could explain a little bit about what is that, because that's a new thing for the church.
That's right. Yeah. So first, the word propedeutic, it's this kind of hard to spell, kind of archaic sounding word, but it's basically from the Greek, which means kind of an education before the basic education. And so this is like in the Greek world, this would have been early childhood education. But it's come to mean any kind of type preparatory stage and formation. And so that's what this is a preparatory formation before a man would begin philosophy studies on his way to be studying theology and on his way to being a priest. And so precisely to meet the needs of what the men coming in are is how we designed our program. Because our world is a lot of busyness. Our world is a lot of scatteredness. And our world has a lot of brokenness, and our men can't help but be impacted by this. And so what we try to do intentionally with the propedeutic stage is, you know, too often I think people will treat preparation as just a lot of things that you need to accomplish. And so too often, though, that means formation means a lot of running to stand still. So you're worried about this class and this pastoral experience and this set of skills that you need to learn. And on top of that, you're supposed to have a prayer life and retreats and all these types of things. And so instead of running to stand still, the propedeutic stage is slowing down to go faster. So we're trying to slow the pace of life down to actually allow the development and growth, the interior and spiritual and human growth of the man to go faster and deeper by having the rest of our life go slower. And so the way we've designed our house is we lease a convent from a nearby parish, and we have about 16 men in the house. And we live a life dedicated to that human and spiritual growth. So we have a common life that we live together. We do all our food shopping, and the men take turns doing meal preparations. We do a life of tech fast. So I don't let the guys have any phones or screens or anything except on Saturdays. They can call their mom to kind of detox from all of that. Mm-hmm. Our building is intentionally small so that, as you mentioned, about months in your shade, we force the guys to hang out with each other. We force the men to do work together, so we do a lot of manual labor in the house. We don't have a dishwasher. The men are our dishwashers. I have 16 of them. I can finally make that joke. you know, and then I live and work with the men, so I live in the house here, and I'm the basically the dad of the house. And then we have, during the week, then sessions. So Jeff Cavins comes into Scripture. We have Father Pietro Rosotti, does Catholic Literature. Father John Vanderplug, who is our director of spiritual formation, teaches the guy about prayer and discernment. And then we have Paul Ruff, our staff psychologist, work with the men on basically all their human background and all the stuff they're bringing in, how to look at it and how to understand it and how to grow in it. And then in the midst of this, we do apostolic work. So in January, I sent the men for a poverty immersion where they went in a pretty intense way to work with the poor. And all of this is meant to help slow the guys down, hear the voice of God, and grow deeper as a man in Christ.
So I think one of the things that people would be surprised by in hearing you talk about the propedeutic year is that there's no like specific class they take, correct? Like they're not
That's right.
They're not in class, as you had mentioned earlier. Like they're not taking tests and getting grades. I like that. I like the way you said that about slowing down to get faster. You know, if I was a millionaire, I'll just use this as an example. If I was a millionaire, I would own a lot of sports cars, right? I love cars. I love sports cars. And I'm just thinking, as you're sort of describing that, like if I want to take a car and I want to make it fast, right? I want to make it agile on the track or go down a drag strip or something. What am I going to do? I'm going to pull that into a garage and I'm going to tweak on the engine. I'm going to take the engine out. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to maybe get a new engine, new transmission, whatever, right? Like there's a lot of work that you have to do before you can kind of send it out to do the thing that you wanted to do, go fast, take corners in a good way, whatever. And I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking of that like in the context of what you're saying about like the slowing down before we mm-hmm. can kind of move forward with speed. And, you know, as priests, as men who are ordained, you and I both, right, we experience this in our day-to-day lives. Like, I mean, you know, I'm in a parish, right? And so like you're in the parish and you're go. And then eventually you're like, you know, I'll stop and I'll think, you know what, in 2 months I got my 8-day silent retreat. Right, like there's an it's like, okay, you know, I'm doing what I should be doing, right, but I need to get back. And I mean, this is for every person, and you know, married people are thinking, oh really, you can go do your 8-day silent retreat, that's great, I want an 8-minute silent retreat, right, is what parents are thinking. Right. So the church in her wisdom, really seeing that this is something that's much, much needed for a young man. We've got about a minute here before a quick preview of our next show, Father John, then we can conclude with our conversation. But I just want to maybe just ask you here in only about 30 seconds, but what are the men... 1 minute to preview here. So, like, what are the men like that are coming in? I mean, are these broken guys? Are these holy guys? Are these good guys? Like, what are the men like that we're having here in the Upper Midwest come into our seminaries?
Yeah, I would say in general, these are men who have a deep hunger to know God and have encountered God, and most often it's through their experiences in college, meeting peers who are disciples already, and they've been introduced to Jesus, and they want to be a disciple. And, of course, they want to live this in the depth of the church. And so these are men who love the Eucharist deeply. These are men who are excited to spend time in prayer and adoration. And these are men who I think are just eager to do what God's calling them to do. And so it's my job to help them sort out, are you hearing God right? And where do you need to work and grow to be that man in Christ that you want to be and that God wants you to be? So they're zealous for the Lord, hungry, and desiring to do what God wants.
Yeah, that's great. That's beautiful. It is, right? You know, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, in the sense of like we look at culture and we see how the Lord is raising up more and more of these men. Everybody, we're going to go here to our preview for just a second for our next show, and then we'll jump back into our conversation with Father John for the final minute or so.
Coming up on the next Real Presence Live, your hosts will be Karen Selensky and Father Craig Hochhalter, live from St. Anne's Church in Bismarck, North Dakota. Joining them this time will be Mother Mary Joseph Campbell from the St. Mary Sisters, who will share the importance of the work the sisters are doing in the Bismarck Diocese. Then we will hear from Monsignor Thomas Richter, who will be teaching courses at the University of Mary that will bring us closer to the Holy Trinity. All this and more will be on the next Real Presence Live, Thursday morning from 9 to 11. Back to you, Father.
All right, thank you. So, Father John, how does a seminarian celebrate the Triduum? What does that look like for them?
Yeah, so I think most of them will go back to their home diocese, and what they'll do is they'll typically serve at either their home parish or at the cathedral with the bishop for the Triduum. I know there's a set of guys here locally who are at the Cathedral of St. Paul here with Archbishop Hebda. But yeah, it's really an opportunity for them to enter into the sacred mysteries, and for them, many of them, it's a first-time look up close with their bishop at the most sacred feast days of our year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they go home, they head home, and they might be serving at their parishes. They might be helping with their bishop, with their archbishop. I mean, I remember too, as a seminarian, like just how beautiful those days were of you really experience like a sense interiorly of like, I want to do this, I want to be a part of this. So So that's great. So, Father, how about you, Father John? Do you stick around a parish? Do you celebrate Holy Thursday by yourself? You know, no. What is your plan?
Absolutely not. Yeah. normally, when I don't have anything, scheduled, I go just and with the Archbishop at the cathedral. This year, yeah. though, I'm covering for a priest who had a heart attack a couple weeks ago.
Oh man!
So I'm covering all of the triduum for him now. He's doing well, but just his stamina is not what it needs to be. So. Yeah. I'm stepping in and filling in for him for this week at his parish.
What's his first name?
Yeah, Father Brian.
Oh, okay. Father Brian is his first name. All right, so everyone just pray. Let's pray Hail Mary for his recovery as we conclude. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father John, thanks for joining us. Everybody have a holy and good sacred Triduum, and we will join you again soon. God bless.
This has been Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Real Presence Live brings you inspirational stories of faith and a look at the good and holy things happening in our local area. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11 Central. Tune in for an encore of each show beginning Saturday morning at 6. Get the podcast any time of day or night at yourcatholicradiostation.com or on the Real Presence Radio app. And remember, you can be a part of the conversation through Facebook and Twitter. Real Presence Live, local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.